Heavenly Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus as we get into your word for a few minutes that you would open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law or thy word. Psalm 119, verse 18. Perhaps at all times some among us are realizing the futility of the flesh or crying out in desperation, which is a good thing no matter where we are or are not in the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5. So we come to a place in and of ourselves. Jesus said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Notice the flesh is weak. The Bible tells us in the book of Psalms, chapter 39, that man in his very best state is altogether vanity. Verse 4 and 5, Psalm 39, Lord, make me to know mine end. Now, the psalmist is praying here, and he says, Lord, make me to know mine end, the end of myself, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail or how weak I am. Now notice this prayer, which would be something unheard of today in the world's eyes, even in the church world. Notice he prays that the Lord would show him just how frail, how infirm, how weak, how limited he is. Isn't that interesting? Remember, our main verse here is going to be Matthew 26:41. Jesus says to his disciples, watch and pray. Here's why, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now notice that you enter not into temptation. We are always going to be presented with temptation, but only those who pray and seek the face of the Lord continually, as the scripture instructs us to do, are going to be full of the power of God and able to resist the temptation to overcome, to be momentous, to pick up momentum as we abide in vital union with Christ. So again, Matthew 26:41, I want to highly encourage and exhort you, beloved of God, to memorize these words from Jesus. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that, or so that ye enter not into temptation. We're always going to be tempted in this world. And if we watch and pray, we're alert, we are seeking the face of the Lord, we're walking and living a life of prayer. The Bible says that we're to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Also, the scripture says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You see, if you're praying, you're not going to be fainting because you're going to be empowered by the Lord through that communion. Just like the five wise virgins that we want to emulate, in Matthew 25:1-13, they stayed full of the virtue of the great bridegroom, that's the Lord, ushered right on into his eternal kingdom, whereas those who backslid, those that did not endure to the end, those that didn't watch and pray, those that didn't pray without ceasing, were empty vessels, and the door was shut on them because they didn't have the divine fuel, the divine virtue in them, because they neglected fellowship with the Lord to power them all the way into the great bridal chamber with Jesus, the bridegroom. So notice, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. So we know that if we're not praying without ceasing, we're not seeking the Lord and his strength, seeking his face continually, 1 Chronicles 16:11, then we're going to faint. It's just that simple. I want you to memorize and begin to meditate. When we memorize a verse, that's when we're able to meditate upon it. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Now, do you think that anyone who's not watching and praying is going to overcome temptation? No, impossibility. That's an impossibility. Why? Because the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, Paul said, I keep unto my body. It's not only a now thing, present, but it's also perpetual. I keep under my body through the crucified life, that is. I keep under my body lest at any time after I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. See, in the end, those who didn't remain in the Lord steadfast, watching and praying, they're going to be found as those who had entered into and are going to be caught red-handed entering into temptation, because you and I cannot, by our own natural ability, overcome sin. We have to be powered by God, given the prescription that we're talking about here in this message. Matthew 26, 41 poignantly frames this truth, that we are to watch and pray so that we do not enter into temptation. We have the Spirit of God dwelling large in us as we are seeking the Lord in His strength, seeking His face continually, praying without ceasing. We're living a life of prayer. We don't just have a prayer life, we have a life of prayer. The prayer life, when we meet with the Lord in every morning and seek His face in holy prayer communion, launches us into a day, each day, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, empowered by Him, who alone is able to give us power over the weakness of the flesh. Jesus said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." In other words, get all alone with God, where no one else can hear you or see you. "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, seal yourself off from all others. Pray to thy Father which is in secret," private, "and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Those who meet with the Lord to commune with Him in private are going to be powerfully used to overcome and to help others publicly. So we're talking about the difference between the flesh and the Spirit today, and how the human spirit, our born-again spirit, is empowered through a life of prayer to overcome the deeds of the flesh. That's the only way you or I, after being saved, can walk consistently separated from and overcoming the sins that Jesus died to take away from us. Jesus didn't die to forgive us of all our sins only so that we could go back into living in those sins. So many today are misled to believe they're okay because they had that one moment of faith in Jesus Christ and they were born again. And so they're taught by the false teachers of today's modern church that they're once saved, always saved, either blatantly or not so blatantly, and that's probably even more insidious. They're taught that it's okay, you're covered by the blood of Jesus. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that if and only if we walk in the light after being saved, as He is in the light, that we continue to have fellowship one with another, you and God, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses you from all sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The only reason why you or I at this moment would have any sin in our lives, and sin stains the garments of the righteousness of God which He gave us through Christ when He first saved us, and makes us unfit to enter into His eternal kingdom. The Bible says that Jesus is coming back for a church that is washed by the water of His word, and that is a holy church without spot or blemish, with no blemish of sin. This is Ephesians 5:25 through 27. Jesus is coming back for a church, His people, that are choosing to love Him and therefore obey Him by faith. They live a sanctified life that's being cleansed with the washing of water by the word, verse 26 of Ephesians 5, that He might present it to Himself. Notice what kind of people qualify, and that He says is His glorious church that He's going to present to Himself. Notice, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. Now, what does that require? If go back to the verse previous, it requires being set apart, not only saved, but then sanctified or set apart holy to the Lord, being cleansed with the washing of water by the word. Now, that water has to flow in order to cleanse. Just like when you turn on the faucet, you turn on the shower, you get under a waterfall coming down from a mountain. That's flowing water, and that represents in the Old Testament eternal life. And so this flowing water must be flowing. How is it going to flow if your arms, your hands, your heart is not lifted to heaven every day, and you're not in the Word so that it can wash you. Notice, we're cleansed with the washing of water by the Word. And by definition, that water, if it's going to cleanse, it has to be flowing. That means you have to make sure and declare and discipline yourself that every day the Word of God is going to be flowing into your life. And that's how you're going to be cleansed, by hearing it, by allowing it to circumcise your heart, cut away that which does not belong, and to wash you clean every day. Jesus said, now are you clean through the Word which I've given unto you. John chapter 15, verse 3. But that Word has to flow into your eye gates, into your heart, into your life every day. Anybody who's not in the Word every day has already backslidden. Jesus is not their first love at all. At best, they're lukewarm. For now, as it stands, Jesus is a mere hobby. They're trying to use him to deceive themselves into thinking they're going to go to heaven. They don't want to go to hell. That's what dominates their thoughts, not loving Jesus with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and making him the very Lord of their life, putting him first place, the very first love, the first priority of their life. They're not choosing to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so they are full of the love of self, because it's either one or the other. Jesus said, you cannot, no man can serve two masters. You're either going to love Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, or you're going to love yourself and make mammon your God in this fleeting world. Matthew 6:24. So then he says, after he speaks of the washing of water by the Word, then he says that that's how he is going to present this glorious church that's being washed by the water of his Word. That's how we abide, we remain, we continue in Christ, and it results in the production of fruit, more fruit, and much fruit, John 15. And that body, that people he's coming for, is one that has no spot on her garment. She does not leave any sin dormant. She confesses. She does not cover. She honestly confesses all sin. See, the scripture says in Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins, that is, he doesn't confess those sins, shall not prosper. But whosoever confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. Another memory verse and truth from scripture to live by, Proverbs 28:13. See, this church that he's going to present to himself is going to be one that's holy and without blemish, that is, without the blemish of sin. Now, if you don't meet these conditions, you will not be with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Father in eternity. It doesn't matter whether or not you like the way he set this up or not, but it should be very logical. Think about being engaged to a woman who doesn't stay faithful. She professes her love. You both fall in love, as the saying goes. You love one another, and so you propose, you schedule a marriage. But yet one of the parties, either the man or the woman, does not remain faithful, does not endure to the end of that engagement or espousal season or period, and so it ends the marriage. There will be no marriage. See, you and I are engaged. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 that he has espoused us. We're espoused, we're engaged to be married to Jesus. But none of us that are still on earth are actually married to Jesus. That doesn't happen until we enter into eternity. So in Revelation 19, beginning in verse 7, he says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Did you catch that? His wife hath made herself ready. In other words, the individual members of the body of Christ whom he has saved must of their own will be rooted and grounded in loving Jesus with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength to make herself ready. And we're reading here in today's message, Matthew 26:41, where we're entering into temptation if we're not watching and praying. That is a perpetual action, that we live a life of prayer so that we're full of the Lord and able to overcome the flesh, which he said is weak. because we're building up our spirit man by seeking the face of the Lord and seeking his face continually, and he's fueling us with his presence, his virtue, and we're able to overcome the sin that would otherwise separate us from him, because he's holy, holy, holy. That's his intrinsic divine nature, and that will never change. Jesus washes you afresh the moment he saves you, and then he commands you to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, 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 and to follow him. And what happens is that the cross is what keeps the sin that he forgave us initially of from re-entering our lives. The cross is an implement of death. The scripture says in Romans 6, the most prominent cross chapter in the Bible, he that is dead is freed from sin. You got to be dead and buried with Christ to be dead to the sin of this world. Paul says in the book of Galatians that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Then he says in Galatians 6:14, but God forbid that I should glory, save or accept in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. That's the scriptural prescription. That is the way that we overcome sin, and that sin does not have dominion over us. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. And that's right in the middle of the most prominent cross chapter and passage, Romans 6, in the whole Bible. So it's through the cross life that we're granted the divine virtue, the grace, the operational power of God in our lives to overcome all sin, because the flesh is weak. And so we're living a cross life where we're crucified with Christ and thereby reciprocally raised up by Christ into the victory over sin, Satan, and the world that God has ordained and requires us to walk in, beloved. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, men ought always to pray. How often do we pray? Always to pray and not to faint. God is so good. He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness in his word. And this message from the word of God is one that we have to embrace. We have to learn, peer into, and walk in. So again, as I began to say early on, perhaps someone listening has been crying out to the Lord to overcome the sins that they're so convicted of committing and seem to have no victory over. But in this message from the word of God is more than clear and instructing us that in order to walk in an honest, sincere heart with a clear conscience, we must repent, confess all sin, and be washed afresh and receive the overcoming blessing of the grace of God, the virtue of heaven, to overcome. That's why the Bible says that we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, someone might say, why is he speaking of mercy and grace in the same passage? Great question. And that's because mercy is to receive fresh forgiveness of our sins, and grace to change and to empower us to be the divine influence on our hearts and to empower us to present and future victory through the cross life for the sins that once ensnared us and so easily beset us, Hebrews 12:1-3. Now, I'm quoting out of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, which says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Notice Jesus rose from the dead, and now he's seated, book of Hebrews, at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for us. He ever lives to provide that which he died to purchase. And Jesus didn't die to give us half the victory. He died to give us the full and complete victory. So let us hold fast, the writer of Hebrews says, our profession, that which we professed upon being saved at initial salvation. For we have not an high priest, that's Christ, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He walked in the flesh, but was in all points tempted like as we are in the flesh, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly with full confidence unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Notice, when we come before the Lord confident because of the Son of God who's at the right hand of the Father, we receive mercy for our sins, fresh forgiveness, and find grace for divine enablement to help in time of need. We obtain from God, He blesses us to be forgiven afresh, to be washed, and also to be empowered with His grace to overcome, to walk forth as a vessel separated unto the Lord, having no spot or wrinkle or any stain of sin. As we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't that what the Scripture tells us? And back to Galatians 5, walk in the Spirit, verse 16, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Again, this is like Romans 6 and Romans 8, where we see the combination of the cross life coupled with the raising up of the resurrection power of Christ. What a blessing. See, when we're dead and buried, that's the cross, we're going to be raised up into victory with the power of the living God. And that is what powers us to endure to the end and all the way into the bridal chamber of eternal glory. Remember, we just read in Revelation 19, beginning of verse 7 through 9, that the body of Christ, the true bride of Christ, is making herself ready. She keeps her garments clean all the way to the end. And the way that happens is through the cross life. Jesus said, if we're going to follow Him, we must do it His way, and that would be to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily, and follow Him. In other words, to live that crucified life prescribed by Jesus and His apostles, and we're raised up thereby into the victory Jesus has ordained and purchased for us to walk in. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have, notice that, have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. How can I say that I am Christ and I'm not living the cross life? That would be impossible according to this and many other verses in the Bible. So, brother, you're saying that the crucified life is essential to walking with God in eternal glory? That's what the Bible says, saints. If that's your question, the Bible resoundingly answers that question with yes. There's no way to walk with Jesus outside of the crucified life. And it doesn't matter that we're not going to hear this from the pulpits of the modern church. We are still accountable because God didn't say, go find a church. He didn't say, go find a church and follow whatever's being taught there. And if you're not in the Word, you're not going to have the counsel of God, such as the absolute essential of the daily cross. And you're going to be destroyed for lack of knowledge because you rejected the knowledge of the Lord. And there will be no excuse on that day. Again, Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ's. Stop right there and ask yourself, as I ask myself right now, am I really Christ? Let's find out by reading the whole verse. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Those that are Christ are denying themselves today. They're taking up their cross and they're following Jesus. They're living the crucified life. There is no other way to follow Christ. Now, if you find yourself struggling against sin, the Bible does say that we strive against sin according to the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, verse 4. We're striving against sin. And the way we're striving to overcome is through the crucified life. We're fighting the good fight of faith, and we're fighting to keep the cross at the center, to keep Christ and the crucified life central in our lives. And remember, our main verse says the flesh is weak, so that the sins of the flesh are not dominating and controlling and having any place in our lives. Now notice Hosea 14, 1 and 2. As we come in for a close here, I believe God would quicken us, first of all, to understand that He's the one, Jesus is the one who said the flesh is weak. That's why the flesh has to be overcome and presided over through a life in the Spirit. And that happens by way of the crucified life, the cross, and the raising up of the Holy Ghost into the victory God has ordained us to walk in. Notice Hosea 14, 1 and 2. O Israel, that's the people of God, return or turn again. That's synonymous with return unto the Lord thy God. For thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Sin separates us from God. Now he tells his people how to come back to him. He says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Hosea 14, 1 and 2. Jesus says in the end of Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Saints, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know that you are holy, holy, holy. And we know by experience, and most of all because you told us, that our flesh is weak. Yet, Lord, when I am weak, we know that you are strong. As I surrender, as I lay down my life at your holy feet and declare that I am crucified, I am dead and buried with Christ, we know that you will raise us up reciprocally with your Holy Ghost. Father, we ask you to do that work in us, your vessels, that you know, that deeper work that you know is most important. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we ask you to wash us afresh by the precious blood of Jesus. Here and now, Lord, we lay our life, I lay my life in thy holy hands. Please take over fully this life. I love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. That's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.